Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Happy steamy Friday to everyone listening. Just want to congratulate all of you. You did it. You made it to Friday, which means if you are at work today, you can pretty much mail it in.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. And by
John
Hancock, Michael Kelly, Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ronchi is not here today.
Not in the house.
Now, we have a text line, and we have a regular texter named Harambe.
Harambe. After the ape.
Yep. And girl, Harambe says, Harambe here, Chris takes off way too much. I'm disappointed.
Between the two of you.
Amy, Michael, don't say it.
Okay. Yeah, Harambe may be right. I think Harambe, Chris is always off, isn't
he's
he?
He's always
hiking
didn't
out.
They, didn't
in
they,
the
didn't
mountains.
They kill Harambe?
Yeah.
They did kill
he
Harambe.
He was at the Cincinnati Zoo, I think.
Yeah.
And somebody fell in there. Somebody was acting a fool. And so they had to kill the.
Yeah.
Was it a gorilla?
It's a gorilla, buddy.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a gorilla and an ape?
Well, if you look at the genetics of the, so you got an ape over here. That's kind of a monkey thing. And then you got the gorilla, which is also kind of a monkey. but they're different.
Yeah.
The ape and
simian
gorilla
in nature, you would say. Hey,
I don't know.
We do want to hear from you. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Call or text us. We've got a lot of questions for you later on in the show, including our question of the week, should men wear shorts?
If I use both of these microphones, will that be broadcast in stereo?
You're like the president at the State of the Union.
Yes. I like this.
And
yeah.
John Hancock, a couple of microphones over there in Studio B.
Two microphones shy of a full load is what I am.
That is impressive.
Yeah, buddy.
They both look like new microphones as well.
Yeah, they are.
Now, if you're listening and think this is riveting, where else can I listen to this show? The Odyssey app. You can listen on the Odyssey app if you're listening on 1120 AM. Why not flip it on over to 104.1 FM?
Well, that's right,
the FM, 104.1 FM. On the Odyssey app, by the way, if you do listen to us on the Odyssey app, you can leave us a voice message. There's a little microphone icon. Super easy. And you'll want to do that because no doubt we will infuriate you at some point today. But John Hancock, we're just grateful you're alive in here.
Yeah. A near fatal car collision the other day.
What?
Well, I had to make a run a little errand. We had the kids over, you know, the grandkids, and taking care of 3-year-old Tula, who's in the process of potty training.
How about teeth? Is she getting teeth, too?
She's got all of her teeth.
Well, when did they start losing teeth? Like, that's a ways away.
Yeah, a year or so.
Okay.
And then 4-month-old Nico.
Hey, now.
And so we were running a little low on Nico fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to run up to my daughter's...
Nico fluid?
Milk.
Oh.
And so I had to run up to my daughter's office to pick up some fluid.
Yep.
And so I picked it up.
That was very transactional when you call it fluid.
Yeah. And then I thought, you know, I'm about out of gas.
Oh.
So I had to go to the gas station right there. It's a gas station I pulled into, I don't know, a thousand times. And I'm turning left into the gas station.
All right.
A good distance from the intersection of Clayton and Woods Mill, where I spy out of my eye as I'm turning left, a blue car driving at a incredible speed.
Oh. Oof.
Just entering the intersection, I got plenty of time to get across. And so I'm executing my left-hand turn, and I, you know, the guy, he never hit his brakes.
Oh, my.
Slammed into the side of my...
You, like, T-boned you?
T-bone.
Wait,
bam!
You?
Yes, he hit me. He hit me. And, and it was quite jarring. I was going about 5 miles an hour. He was going about 60 miles an hour.
How are you alive?
Well, that's what I'm...
How's your neck?
You know, it's not feeling so good right now.
Did you call the cops? Did you have witnesses?
Yeah. So the one guy was pulling out on Clayton Road, and this guy blew past him, and he said, I almost hit the guy. He was driving so fast, and then he was behind him, and he saw the whole thing. And he said, as he pulled out on Clayton Road, he said, that guy's going to hit somebody.
Wow.
And not more than 3 seconds later, there it was.
What happened to the Nico fluid in the accident?
I had to get
ice. Did it stay intact?
It did. Fortunately, I was at the gas station. Wait. Got a couple of bags of ice.
So he T-boned you. I can't. Like, this is the type of car crash, in all seriousness, that people die.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I could be dead right
is
now.
Is your car totaled?
No. His car was totaled. My car, I don't like to talk.
it's gotten used to
it's
it.
It's already been it's through a crash up. Up derby before.
My insurance company informed me that my last accident occurred 10 years ago.
Is that right? Yeah.
Your last reported accident.
Yeah, and that one was my fault. I hate to say it, but it was.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, John, I'm so sorry.
I know. It was scary there for me.
Did they try to take you in an ambulance? Because sometimes the adrenaline that's coursing through your body right after an accident, you don't realize that you're actually hurt.
Well, and so there I was. I was a little shaky. But the two witnesses pulled into the parking lot and they said, "We saw it," you know, and so they
wow. Nice. Did the alleged perpetrator have insurance?
Yes.
Congratulations.
As of May of 2025.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Was the alleged perpetrator a young person, a drunk person, a high person?
Well, I don't know what state of mind they were in, but they were young and had some very impressive, what do you call those things you put in your nose?
Oh, earrings, nose rings?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some bars.
I had a couple of those and nice fellow.
Right.
And
He stuck around.
He did stick around.
Well, that's a big one.
He couldn't drive
his car.
That's also a great point.
But based on the geography of where you said it was, there was a good chance that they were going to have insurance. Most of the time I've gotten bumped, I'm always like, man, we're playing insurance roulette.
Does this
person
more than
who hit
a bump.
Me have
insurance? This was like, bam. Yeah.
That is where I have been T-boned once.
Yeah.
And again, not to poo-poo State Farm, but they're the worst.
Well, I'll let you know about Progressive.
Yeah,
State
Farm insurance
right
is the worst. So here's what happened: technically it was my fault because I pulled out onto Clayton Road. But here's the thing: it was night, and the person I pulled out in front of didn't have their lights on. And you would think, because I pulled out, and what was so scary is I was looking. You know, I wasn't distracted. I was looking in the direction from which I got hit.
Yeah.
And so I pulled out.
They hit the driver's side or the passenger side?
Oh, driver's side.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And it spun my car. I mean, I spun around on Clayton Road.
Wow.
The woman went up across all four lanes of Clayton into the woods. And she was kind of hurt, actually. She was okay, but was hurt. And shaken up, right? And I was like, her lights weren't on. Her lights weren't on. Because you know how you look for the headlights.
Right.
You see all the headlights. And she had like a low profile, dark green Honda Civic, like old. And I had a couple witnesses who stayed around and said, yes, her lights were not on. Well, State Farm said it was my fault. And the police officer, we called the police and all of that. State Farm, because they said you have 30 minutes after the sun goes down to turn your lights on. And they said that it was 28 minutes after the sun
went
down.
That's what the police said?
That's what State Farm said. That's the Missouri rule. And so
they weren't being good neighbors with that rule.
They were not. So my insurance said, listen, this is what State Farm does. They find these rules and they have all the money to go after you with their lawyers. They're like, just, you know, and they said it was like 90-10 or 80-20, right? My fault. But let me tell you, it is dark when you're on a street like Clayton and there are no lights and the sun is set 28 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It is hard to see that
Heck
car.
Yeah.
So that, but just that T-bone feeling.
You have a hard
feeling.
Time in broad daylight.
Yeah. And it was, there was a lot of traffic. There was no traffic where he was coming.
Yeah.
And he was, I saw he was moving fast, but I didn't realize he was moving 60 miles an hour.
All right.
I'm glad you're okay, John.
So you and me both.
One last question, because we all have been through these accidents. Your car's a little older. It's got a couple miles on it. Maybe has been roughed up over time.
Yeah. Fine automobile.
Are you looking at it thinking, I wonder if they're going to tell me it costs this much to fix it, or we'll just give you the money and you should go. We'll take it and give it to somebody.
Oh, I want to get it fixed. I like this car.
You don't want to get a new automobile.
No, I like it. There's nothing wrong with this car, except for the can't open the door anymore. but they can fix that.
They can fix that. Maybe.
I do have a little, the rear back door is not adjacent, so the wind kind of goes
through.
Yeah,
no, you better hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah, right.
Because the water will be coming in.
I will say, sometimes a car can look pretty good, but if that is the chassis, the base, if that is out of alignment, that it's not structurally safe anymore, it could be totaled.
Well, I drove it here today. So.
But it could be totaled.
So it looked like some type of a drug deal was going down. Hancock says to me, he says, I said, I have our snooker sticks in my car. I'll give them to you because I'm going to be out of town this weekend in case you want to play.
Yes.
So he says, great, you can come out and look at my car. So I go over there. I pull out the snooker sticks and the balls, and I'm carrying them over with John to his car. And John opens his trunk, and it looks like he's got a rolled up tarp in there. And I said, what, do you got a dead body in here? And he says,
not anymore.
It's too hot. You don't want to leave that thing in the trunk.
What was that?
That was the cover for my other car.
Yeah.
Jordan got a cover.
But it was just one of those things that you were throwing sticks into the car, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, and then, so I had that, and then I have everything that was left over from our garage sale a year and a half ago that we didn't sell. And
that's because you're supposed to take it up to
Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Yeah. It's all back there. So maybe I'll do that this weekend.
John, we're glad you're alive.
I am too.
We've got them for the whole hour because he is very much alive. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, Amy Mark Scores alongside you. You can always text us 314-436-7900. A Lyft driver, Alicia Lyft driver, tuning in today from, I guess, maybe from her car.
I know Alicia.
Do you?
So Alicia. Last night I rode home with in an Alicia. Uber with Alicia.
He went home. He went home with and Alicia last night.
No, she drove me home.
She drove you home. She didn't come in.
John, this is a family program, and it's not even 10 a.m.
And I can't see the text, so I don't know what she said. Is that what she said?
Just said the Lyft driver tuning in today.
Great. She drove me home last night. I was listening. She had the radio on, and she was listening to a voice I recognized. We got into talking about the radio. She'd heard of John Hancock. She'd never heard of Mike Kelly. So.
Well, I just want to know, Alicia, if Mike Kelly is a good Uber passenger.
He's got five.
I'm a good.
He's got a five-star rating.
I'm a five-star.
Do you really?
I would assume. I mean, what would I do that's offensive
what
to
him? What would I do? And I had like a low rating, like 4.7, and they said they'll stop picking you up at 4.6, 4.7, allegedly. And I called Uber. I was so upset. I'm like, what could I have possibly done?
What did you do, Amy?
Well, they go, well, do you close the doors too hard? I go, I don't think
Come
so.
On.
And they also said, asked about like how much I talk or don't talk. I try not to talk.
You don't talk.
Because I don't want to bother people. Well, guess what? My brother-in-law lived in New York for 20 years. He probably took thousands of Uber rides, had a five-star rating, moved to Nashville and then St. Louis, but moved to Nashville. His rating went down to like 4.8, and they said it's probably because he didn't talk enough.
Really?
Yeah, you got
to
talk.
In New York,
Uber
they don't want you
wants
talk.
To talk.
Well,
to
yeah,
you.
That's why
but
you're
not
driving
in New
the
York.
Car. You want to talk to people.
But in New York, they don't talk. That's
talk
why he had
people.
A five-star rating in New York, but it dropped in Nashville because he was too quiet.
St. Louis, you need to talk.
Right.
I talk all the time.
Speaking of that, Lyft driver Alicia said he was great and it was nice talking with him.
Oh, what a lovely lady.
Not a surprise. We all love Michael
she
Kelly.
She listens to both stations. She listens to 104.1 KMOX, obviously, this morning, but she also listens to our sister station now.
97.1.
97.1. Because I heard Annie Fry's voice in the background and I was
kidding.
Oh, there you go.
Well, she is keeping us in business.
Yesterday was his birthday. You know.
Yes.
It was.
Yep.
The big 5-0.
He's 50. He's now
an old man.
Did you get your AARP card?
It has not shown up in the mail yet.
It'll be there this week.
I thought it came later in the, I thought it was like 55.
50, buddy.
50.
50.
I will subscribe to
50?
The AARP.
Yeah.
Or did you subscribe?
I did not.
Why not?
I'm not old. I'm not retired.
I think they just get
it. It's the American Association of Retired Persons is what the thing says.
No, but they're the people who are like advocating for Social Security and stuff, saying, hey, wait a minute, man, we're over 50. We paid it. We're getting it.
You got to be retired to be a member of the Retired Persons Society.
Well, I think they start sending you the magazine as soon as you turn 50.
Well, you gotta join.
Do you have the magazine?
I don't get the magazine.
I will give them the
I'm
what
not
is
retired.
It, like $10, like $20.
I'm gonna, you know where my retirement party is gonna be?
Delmar Gardens,
the Pink Galleon,
Bope Chapel. that's my retirement party, and you're all invited.
Oh, well, we were almost there.
Yeah,
John's not going to be making his conference calls today.
Yes.
Hey, whoa. Amy, watching on YouTube says, "Happy birthday, Michael."
Hey, now, Amy.
Bill, watching on YouTube, also asked, because Chris is gone, did Chris get fired?
Not yet.
Because he wore shorts.
Mm. Oh.
We wore shorts yesterday.
Why would he get
yesterday?
Fired for wearing shorts?
Well, it's inappropriate.
Says who?
All of us.
Oh, Norma. For a workplace.
Norma. Yeah. You know what
you
those games
You were
out?
Here with Norma. Norma was, Norma used to run the place here.
Norma?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was like
she's,
a nun.
She's gone on to her great reward now, but Norma was here forever. And if you didn't meet the dress code requirements, you'd hear from Norma. Remember Norma?
Right. Now, but I mean, shorts doesn't fit into business casual.
No.
It does. Maybe for women. I don't know. Women's got unique
I think it's skirts.
Standards.
But no, it's not business casual. But things have gone downhill since COVID, man. This place has gotten too casual.
I didn't think that Ranji would be a shorts kind of guy.
He's not.
A guy that wears a hat 24/7, you would think would be afraid to show off his legs.
Yeah, he should be. But he wore shorts because we went to the ball game yesterday.
Ah,
yeah, and it was pretty toasty.
Did you stay the whole time?
I did not.
Yeah.
I was moving, which we're going to talk about later. So the movers showed up.
You had actual movers.
I had actual, because I'm a grown-up.
Wow.
Right.
And so I had actual movers, but they did start early. Or they started without me because I had to leave the ball game to get there. I will say, I don't know if this is possible, but we have a 314 that says I'm 38 and a proud member of AARP.
How is that the case?
Does that mean they're...
That sounds fraudulent.
They sold their company?
Well, yeah. I mean...
Fake ID?
My buddy, one of my dinner club buddies, he retired at like 50 years old.
Well, you can be retired, but doesn't there have to be a standard on the age that you are to be a member of AARP?
I don't know. Apparently
I don't
not.
Want I a mean, club that just will take a 38-year-old.
What'd you call this guy, Bob?
It was a 314.
Oh,
yeah.
314.
Another 314. Our text line, people must not be working today because it's blowing up.
Blowing up.
This is for John.
Yeah?
John, monkeys have tails, apes do not.
Well, that's right. And because,
is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, the monkey's got the tail, and the ape is does not. And the gorilla is like an ape without a tail.
By the way, that was information for me as well. Thank you to that texter. That was informative.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't vet it. Yeah. It could be anybody.
Oh, no, that's 100% correct.
Is it?
Yeah.
You were the guy that thought bats were birds.
I forgot that monkeys had tails.
They are birds. Bats are birds.
Because they fly?
No, they're a rodent. They're not a bird.
No, they're a bird. You got wings and they fly.
No, I think they're a rodent.
All right. Well, since we brought up Chris Ranji getting fired because he wore shorts.
Poor Chris.
And showed his gams, his white, hairy gams.
What are gams?
Legs.
Don't ask.
doesn't it sound like don't ask?
It sounds terrible is what it sounds like.
Terrible.
I don't want to see his gams. He's got really white gams, doesn't he?
He does really white gams.
Like pasty white gams?
Yeah.
I didn't know that the sweet potato and the yam are two different things. Did
really?
You know that?
I did know that.
You didn't know that,
no,
did you?
I had no clue.
You got the sweet potato, which is a sweet potato, and then you got the yam.
Are they grown the same way?
Well, they look the same to me.
And are they grown
the same? I mean,
the
yams are a little smaller, but...
Well, what's the difference between an onion
so
and a shallot?
Yams?
You know?
Well,
I mean,
it's
like monkeys and apes. It's all same thing.
No, the shallot's a whole different thing.
It's much smaller
but
onion.
But it's an onion.
All right.
Whatever happened to Gene Shalit? He's still around?
Who's Gene Shalit?
He was the guy, you know?
I think he died.
Movie, he did.
Since this is a poo-poo platter of a segment, I'm going to go back to AARP.
Okay.
314 says, AARP lowered their age requirement many years ago to better help us to prepare for retirement instead of waiting until the last minute. Is this the AARP texting in?
This says you can be 18 years old and eligible for AARP.
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think for the show.
You ought to be retired.
If Matt Pajeski were actually committed to his job, he would join AARP for us.
But
I'll tell you what. In all seriousness, that's a talented cat.
He's amazing.
Yes.
We don't deserve him.
He's something else.
If he wanted to expand his abilities at work, because I need this in my life, I did not realize how much this obscure thing you need in your life.
What's that?
Matt should become a notary public.
Oh, a notary.
I have had to go to a notary twice in the last week, and I'm like, I have a whole staff of people.
Yeah.
Why isn't one person a notary public?
How long does it...
Because it is a pain in the neck to find a person.
How long is it a pain in the neck to become a notary?
It's like apparently like 2 or 3 days of sitting in front of the computer and taking a test, Matt, and then you could notarize things around Camel X.
So here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Roy Blunt... The former senator from Missouri.
Uh-huh.
became a notary public in order to swear in Governor Mike Kehoe.
How about that?
Did it take him 3 days?
I don't know how long it took him, but he had to become, because you got to be a judge or a notary public to swear in an office holder.
Well, I think Matt, for the show, should become a notary public.
Yeah, I think you should.
I'm just now learning what this is today.
Every business out there knows what I'm talking about.
Do you know who the supervisor of the notaries public are?
The Secretary of State.
Yes. Yeah. Missouri Secretary
of State. I knew that. That's some useless information there.
That's really good information.
Yeah, we paid that person about $200,000 to do that.
Well, when we come back, unfortunately, we will talk a little bit of politics.
Let's go.
J.B. Pritzker is running for governor again in 2026, and the New York City's got a new, well, controversial mayoral candidate who defeated Andrew Cuomo, John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Amy Markscore is with you on a Friday. Well, I'm really proud of our listening audience today. They're really coming through big. A lot of texts regarding...
What is that text number?
314-436-7900. We have a 217.
That's Decatur, Illinois.
Taking issues, says, come on, Amy, poor Chris is not there to defend himself. That's right. that's what it's most fun.
What was
fun.
He picked upon? About?
I think we called his pasty white gams.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's just kind of a given.
Well, it's a kind of a given. Yeah, I mean, it's not unusual. Okay, just to get down to business for a bit.
All right.
New York City has an interesting Democratic mayoral candidate who recently defeated Andrew Cuomo. And while we may think it's New York, you know, why does it bother us here in St. Louis? Well, it could be a barometer for the direction of the Democratic Party. Michael, should we start with you?
I don't buy that. First of all, I don't believe what's happening in the world's biggest city is a barometer for what it means for the entire Democratic Party. Interesting.
And this is Zohran Mamdani.
Right. And he's a Democratic Socialist. And he got a third of the vote. Guess who got a third of the vote as well is Andrew Cuomo. You know, remember him. He was the sex scandal guy who was run out. So 66% of the votes that were cast in New York were for either a socialist or Andrew Cuomo. So their selections were not normal. Right. And we can argue that New York City may be one unique city in the sense that a lot of progressive ideas actually could get implemented there because of the amount of money that they have. Now, I want to go all over this guy. I'm not a big fan of him, but I have been impressed by the way that he's communicating. I have been impressed by the way that he's out there putting together a message, rallying folks behind it. He's got young people. The folks inside my office are charged up about him. And think that he brings this new way of communicating, really going to the internet and kind of going along with what AOC's up to. So I'm trying to look at the bright spot of it, but I do not believe who the Democrats have as a mayor in New York City is a harbinger for what it means nationwide.
Quick devil's advocate here, though, but what about AOC? She had that upset in New York. She's a Democratic Socialist. She's taken the stage nationally. A lot of my friends, a lot of young people love her. Why should we not view this as part of that very progressive swell?
Well, but that progressive swell is not hunting out here in the hinterlands where Democrats need to win. It's happening in New York. And by the way, AOC is one of the biggest and brightest stars inside the Democratic Party. I mean, I think she's evolving into becoming a long-term leader, even to those who may not like that brand of politics.
I think what is broken about our politics is the fact that the vast majority of our elected officials are functionally elected in primary elections where most people don't vote. And so this guy wins a Democratic primary, he's probably going to be the governor. If you win a Democratic primary in St. Louis, you're going to be the mayor. If you win a Democratic primary in St. Louis County, you're going to be the county executive. If you win a Republican primary in St. Charles County, you're going to be the county executive. And I think that our voters haven't particularly paid a lot of attention to the fact that when they show up in November to vote, the decisions are already made. Mm-hmm. For the vast majority, I'm talking about, you know, upwards of 75-80% of elected officials are functionally elected in primary elections, and voters aren't participating.
So a message of state control of grocery stores, which does sound like communism
it
to
is
me.
Communist.
It's worked so well in Venezuela and the USSR.
Can sell in New York when you have people who are you know, in that type of situation right. where they can't afford
You're
gonna food.
See, I will make this bold prediction, Amy, right here on the Chris and Amy Show, minus Chris, is that you're gonna see a mass exodus from the city of New York to other places. And and I think Florida is going to see a bump. I think Texas is going to see a bump, and I think New York is going to suffer.
I think
the business community in New York is going to suffer and relocate. That's what I predict.
But maybe, but there's so much of New York that can't move. Look, I don't think it's great. I don't think they ought to be stressing the system, and I want the people to stay there, and I want New York to be the capital of the world. The reality is Wall Street can't be picked up and moved to Miami. So New York is always going to be New York. So a guy like this candidate can come up with an idea which says we are going to literally tax the world's richest people who live in our, city extra. He can pull that off because even the guys who have $50 and $60 million in New York are not going to be paying the taxes the way the truly richest people are who happen to live in New York.
Do you think it's going to, even if it's not a mass exodus, only because New York is New York, it's resilient, it's an incredible city, people want to be there. Could it be that you have to suffer through something of a disaster as far as, I don't mean a natural disaster, but I just mean like these grocery stores popping up, not working, turning into food deserts, just being a failure before they turn it around?
Potentially. But to the logic that you have, John, and I think a lot of people are pushing, and I'm sorry, Amy, I hope this
kind of
hits what you were talking about. But to the logic that you have that now these taxes are going to go up in New York and therefore people are going to flee.
Yeah.
What's happening in Missouri? We're losing population. Our taxes are some of the lowest in the country. We have some of the lowest gas taxes in the country. We have some of the most affordable property. But we're not seeing people relocate to Missouri. When we're going to keep cutting taxes. And in fact, we have a population drain happening in this
because
state.
Because what you have in Missouri, unlike a state like Florida or Texas, you've got two large urban centers where... We're 5-6 million people, and we've got between St. Louis and Kansas City, almost half of that. States like Florida have numbers and numbers of different communities and cities and places in which to move. And people, St. Louis's reputation nationally, internationally is not so good right now. Kansas City's is better. Okay. But I think the reason you're not seeing a population boom in a state like Missouri is that there just aren't that many populated places in which to live.
I don't know. I just think it's a hard argument for you all to be making that, you continue to raise these taxes, we're going to run to these other states.
Well,
they're running
are.
For the weather because they're running out of Missouri, too. And by the way, we're not just losing population in Missouri. They're losing it in Sykeston and counties
Could
I've never heard of.
Could it be possible that it's like, again, nothing is monocausal, so... we're losing population in Missouri, even though we have great tax rates. California, people are fleeing the taxes there. You're going to Florida, which is better when it comes to taxes, is a red state, but also is Florida, has the beach. Aren't people taking in multiple factors when they decide?
Well, of course. And what we do know is that if you want less of something, you tax it. And that is just a basic cardinal principle of economics. And when you start taxing wealth, you're going to have less wealth in that jurisdiction. And that's what's going to happen in New York.
Well, Zoran Mamdani, who is the Democratic candidate, mayoral candidate.
Who's he going to run against? Eric Adams is running for re-election.
So.
As an independent.
Yeah.
What's some choices up
know.
In New York, huh?
And he's mentioned, as we mentioned, that the public-owned grocery stores, which someone made a pretty funny point about walking into some government, whatever you're dealing with the federal government or the local government and going, man, I wish these guys ran my grocery stores. It would be so much nicer. No one thinks that. But Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, he also pitched the government-run, city-run grocery stores. That kind of fell. So now I think he wants a city market. But Chicago had this idea as well. Do you think there's a chance that if Mamdani becomes mayor, that this could actually move forward?
Well, but there's a root to the issue that Mamdani is pointing at, and he's trying to come up with a solution to it, and that's government. But the reality is there are food deserts. We have them here in St. Louis.
We do.
It's just not economically viable for these stores to present in some of these in these neighborhoods. And as a result, they don't have access to food. And so the folks in those communities deserve it. So they're responding to constituents. And, you know, I don't like the concept of a state-run grocery store, but if that's the only answer to having groceries in these food deserts, then it needs to be examined. Why isn't the free market working?
Because of theft. The reason you're not putting grocery stores in high-crime neighborhoods is because they can't make money, and the free market doesn't work if you're getting robbed blind and people are coming in and stealing your stuff and walking out the door.
John, they're not just putting grocery stores in food deserts because of theft. It has to do with a number of societal issues. And we've got to find some way to deal with it, because at the end of the day, these people still have to eat.
They do.
And if you only have grocery stores, you know, like we have hospitals in this town, I mean, think about where the hospitals are in St. Louis. Isn't it interesting? They all seem to be on the Highway 40 corridor. Of course, we've got one or two scattered up north, but they seem to be where all the people who have money are. That's the same thing that happens with grocery stores. I don't necessarily mean that as it relates to St. Louis, because I think we've got good coverage as it relates to grocery stores.
We do.
But there are a couple of places on both sides of the river where the free market is not meeting the needs of people who need to have access to food.
The reason the free market isn't building grocery stores in certain places is that they lose money. And that is the free market working. And if you don't want to lose money, then I would suggest you cut down on the crime rate. And
but what does that say to people who've invested their entire lives? You know, and they don't have a car. Believe it or not, there are people who don't have a car. They don't have access.
Yeah.
They want to be able to go to the same type of grocery store that you and I have access to, but it's 10 miles away?
That's where, like, city policy, I think, does really affect local residents. We talked about the Schnucks in South City. I think it's the one off of Hampton, and they had to hire their own security. And Megan Green, the president of the Board of Aldermen, wants to defund the police and said, well, you pay for your own security. That's a city politician, a city policy affecting the viability of a grocery store in an area that might need more security, which costs money, trying to clean it up, trying to keep panhandlers away, trying to keep it a business that people want to go to. And I think that's why when you look at certain city policies, like you look at California, why is homelessness growing there? And in other ways, cities have actually been able to bring down homeless numbers across the country. You look at city policies, a lot of the common trends that you see is lax enforcement of crime, enabling continued drug use, making it easier, becoming basically an enabler. And I do think I think you need to have empathy for those who are homeless, but it can get to the point where it perpetuates those problems. And now you're just funding homelessness because you're not enforcing laws. You're enabling them to continue to do these drug habits. So that is something that it's a local policy that affects the viability of businesses around the area.
I know we're getting ready to bolt, but one thing that I do find interesting in a lot of red states across the country, liquor stores are operated by the state. Why couldn't grocery stores be operated by some of the states and places that are food deserts?
Well, we're going to find out.
You've had state control. I mean, I can name you a couple of states, Utah, a bunch of Republican states, where you go to a grocery store, if you want to get a bottle of booze, you're not going to Schnucks. You're going to the state-run liquor store.
Or they've got a facility in the grocery store that the state, operates. Ohio is an example of that. No, that's true.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly, riveting conversation. We'll continue it with the shorts question. Should men be allowed to wear shorts? It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Well, with everything going on in the world, we thought we should be serious, have some serious, hard-hitting conversations.
We did it.
Yep, and we did it. And that's why we're going to... Oh, I was going to say we're going to continue it.
Oh.
And we're continuing it with our question of the week. Should men wear shorts?
Sure.
Thank you. John Hancock, Michael Kelly. No.
Yeah, I have no problem with men wearing shorts.
Live
I wear shorts.
Live. Live and let live.
What about, Michael, what about you are a successful business, political guy. You want your people showing up in shorts to the
office? They do.
Well.
Now, I mean, listen, that's kind of the new style of business. If you're not having meetings or something, or we're not visiting with clients, I could care less if they wore Lululemon or if they wore shorts. But when you've got to work a thing, you got to be dressed appropriately. But I think shorts are acceptable on a man. And I think most men who know that they don't have legs that should be exposed choose not to wear shorts.
I bought some Lululemons.
That's did right. You did.
Yeah.
For
oh,
the
yes.
wedding.
I gave you the idea to go you get did. A Lululemon.
Yeah, we were staying in the plaza in Kansas City. I was officiating a wedding. This was in April. It's cold. I mean, very cold that day. And it was, she wanted my niece-in-law wanted a outdoor wedding. So the wind's blowing and it's cold. And I'm supposed to officiate this wedding. And I'm thinking, I didn't pack for this.
It's not that cold, though.
It was so cold.
Was it like 50s?
Yeah. And windy. Cold. It's cold. And I said, you know, because usually I got, during the wintertime, I got my long johns that I wear.
He literally wears long johns.
Every day.
That's adorable.
We don't have cold enough weather to be wearing long johns
in Missouri.
Buddy,
in the middle of winter.
Maybe like 4 or 5 days.
I tell you what, my legs aren't shaking.
Is it because you have no fat on your legs?
Yeah, there's no fat.
Bird
and
legs.
So I bought me some Lululemons.
Yeah.
I wonder where those things are now.
Well, where are you at on shorts? You're not a shorts wearer.
I own shorts.
Thought you've only seen, Michael, didn't
I've only seen your legs one time down in Florida.
They're looking awful good, weren't they?
No, but I mean, that's the only time I've ever seen you wear shorts. I've never seen you in shorts in St. Louis.
Well, because, you wear pants.
So wait, if you guys go to Florida this summer.
Yeah, we're going.
Are you? Yeah, you're going. Mm-hmm. Are you packing shorts?
You guys, PJ ought
to come. He'll pack his entire wardrobe. You have never traveled with John Hancock. I'm telling you right now, people went on the Titanic with less than John Hancock travels for a weekend.
All I can tell you is that I've never been, except for the long johns at the wedding, I've never been in want of materials that I have failed to pack.
3 days in Florida, he took a bag that you couldn't take it on a plane.
Like a carry-on.
Couldn't fit in an overhead bin. Yeah,
you had to check a bag.
And we got it. It could barely fit in the trunk of the car. It was so big. 3 days.
I had my stuff,
I said,
though.
What are you
doing?
Did
I have to ask you for anything? No.
No.
Did I say, hey, Michael, you know what? I forgot to bag. No, I didn't say any of that.
The last time
I had it in the bag.
The last time he's at the place in Florida, he calls me and he says, Mr. I pack everything.
Yeah.
Calls me up all serious. Hey, where's there a shoehorn?
Yeah, a shoehorn.
I'm like, what? A shoehorn?
Because I usually have the
shoehorn.
I was
like, John, I'm 50. I'm not 90.
Yeah.
Why would I have a shoehorn?
Because you got a shoe and you got a foot.
But I can reach down and put my
shoe
on my
Have you seen the shoehorns that are 3 feet long?
Yes, I have one. I tell you what, it's like the greatest invention of all time. You can put those suckers on without bending over.
It's like a Bugs Bunny shoehorn.
It's magnificent, this thing. And it is. You're right. It's about 3.5 feet long.
Yeah.
But
you use a shoehorn every day?
No, not one. I got these Skechers. Pastor Melton gets me a pair of Skechers for Christmas every year.
Does he really?
Yeah, and that's what those are my everyday shoes.
Nice.
And you just slip right into those suckers. Now, when you got to wear the dress shoes, that's where you need the
shoehorn.
Because you don't want to be bending the back of your shoe putting the shoe on.
I've never used a shoehorn other than when I went to the place where they try shoes on you know?
Yeah.
The Fleet Feet or whatever, and they put the shoehorn.
You haven't lived until you've used the shoehorn. You just whoosh, the sucker slips right in there.
Huh. That's what you should get Michael for his birthday.
Man, please don't.
You need one down in Florida.
Put it in Florida. No,
say what, Michael?
It's Florida.
That would be pretty sexy. Bring a lady over to your apartment and go, have you seen my shoehorn?
Want to see the size of my shoehorn?
I got three of them.
It's 3 feet long.
I got the 3-footer, and then I got the little metal one, and I've got a green plastic shoehorn that I keep in the basement just in case.
Well, here are the results of our question of the week. Should men wear shorts? It was a shellacking. Yes, 93% of people said yes, men should wear shorts. 7% said no. I'm accepting these results under protest. I think we should have had a third option, which would be yes, but not in professional environments.
Agree.
That would have been my third option. But overwhelmingly, good news, gentlemen, you can wear shorts.
Remember when the White Sox were wearing shorts
back in the
70s?
Do you think girls should be able to wear shorts as appropriate business culture?
To work. It's weird because skirts are okay. I think the only way would be if it's like a long short, you know what I mean? That looks, because I've seen the long shorts with a blazer. I think that's a nice look. Long shorts with a blazer.
Hey, now.
Look at Michael just almost threw up in his mouth a little bit. He's John Hancock, Michael Kelly. Thank you, John. He's free to go.
I'm leaving now.
Michael Kelly is stuck
with me. See you on Sunday morning, buddy.
For the next couple hours. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.